Welcome, welcome, University Covenant Church. My name is John Fanous, and I am so glad that you are joining us today. Hey, as we get started today, I want to encourage you to invite your friends and family to join us. There are people you know who would really appreciate this message. You can do that right now by sharing this video link via Facebook, Instagram, or text. And if you are new to University Covenant Church, we would love to learn your name and start to get to know you. You can introduce yourself by taking a minute to fill out our connection card. You'll find that card in our UCC app, or you can follow the link on your screen, which you can also get to by scanning the quick response code with your smartphone camera. Today, we are finishing up our series, The Stories Jesus Told, about the parables that Jesus told. And next week, we start a new 2, maybe 3-part series called Jesus in Politics as we get ready for this upcoming season. And yes, let me tell you, it will be so much fun. But before we jump into that, I want to let you know about 3 things that you can look forward to in this next week that's happening in the life of our church. Here's the first one. Sunday, August 30th, and depending on when you're watching us, that could be today, is our UCC in Your Neighborhood event. We miss you, and we want to connect with you during this COVID-19 season. So the UCC staff will spread out among 3 different parks in Davis: Arroyo Park, Mace Ranch Park, and Walnut Park. It's going to be a fun time of fellowship with each other as we wear masks and socially distance and still be friends to each other. In addition, there will also be activities for kids, so go ahead and bring the whole family. Also, we are super excited because this event will be a chance for everyone to meet Tiffany, our new worship director. She and I will be rotating from park to park so everyone gets to meet her, and she is super awesome. We're really excited for you all to get to meet her. So for more information about this event, if you have time to look it up, go to ucov.com/announcements. Here's the second thing. UCC has just entered into an exciting partnership with YOLO Food Bank to become one of their new food distribution sites. Every Tuesday, beginning this Tuesday, we will be transforming our UCC parking lot into a food packaging and distribution center for those in need in YOLO County. So food distribution will happen in a drive-through fashion from 3:30 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday. And now, in order to make this happen, volunteers will pack the meals on site from large pallets of donations, place food in vehicles, and assist with traffic control as needed. Now, if you're interested and want to make a difference and you want to volunteer, please contact Dana Armstrong, UCC's food bank site lead, and she can provide you with information on how to register. You can find Dana's contact information by going to ucov.com/announcements. Now, there are several different ways that you can give to the ministries of University Covenant Church. Please visit ucov.com/give to learn all about the different ways that tithes and offerings can be received during this season. And if you've already automated your giving, we just want to thank you for taking that step and giving consistently. It makes a huge difference. Excuse me for a moment. Dude, what are you doing here?
Hey!
Shim it!
Pastor John, hey, I just want to take a selfie with you.
Okay, dude, you're throwing me off. I'm hosting our service
all right now. There you go. Smile.
Jeez. All right, man. So wait. You're preaching today, right?
Yes.
But you're also making a huge transition coming up next month, so fill us in a little more on this.
Okay, I will talk about that more during my sermon, but here's the short version of it. I'm going on sabbatical. 4 months. Just doing some relaxation and enjoying my time. And while I'm gone, we have a very gifted group of people who would be taking care of you so well. As you know, I'm a care pastor, and while I'm gone, you will not miss a thing. We have Scott Agee to lead that team. We have gifted ministers, trained ministers from Stephen's ministry background. We have Sheila Wardrip, Woody Underhill. We have Vicky Cecil. And guess what? We have Bronwyn Murphy, and she is fantastic. So while I'm sitting in a beach and just enjoying myself, they will be here. If you run into trouble or something goes wrong with your life, you will always have someone to call you, to care for you, and pray for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being that step. We're going to miss you. Have a great sabbatical.
We'll miss you too.
Yeah, thank you, man. Okay. Well, with that, let's continue our worship service with prayer. Let's pray.
Hi, UCC. I'm Kyle Cobb.
And I'm Elise Cobb.
Please pray with us. Lord, please be with our UCC community in this time. Help us love one another and enjoy these moments of togetherness and worship. Please be with our church leadership as they guide us to follow your ways. We pray for Pastor Schumann and his sabbatical and pray that he may find rest and wisdom in this time.
We pray for those who are struggling as we enter this school year with so many unknowns. May they feel your strength. And for everyone affected by the pandemic in large or small ways, and for those who are grieving from losses due to the fires, help them to know our church is with them in prayer. And especially in these exceptionally difficult times, help those who are having a hard time coping find their faith in you and feel your presence.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is my last Sunday before my four-month sabbatical. As you know, I am finishing my master's in marriage and family therapy. My major courses are done, and now all I have to do is my internship. That's what I will be doing while on sabbatical. Now, some of you may be wondering if I am going to leave pastoral ministry. The answer again is no. Yes, pastoral ministry can be challenging, but there is no greater joy than serving Jesus as a pastor. And speaking of serving Jesus, that is what our parable for today is all about as we conclude this sermon series. The parable of the talents from Matthew chapter 25 verses 14 to 30. Is all about our responsibility to serve the Master with all our worldly resources and abilities. And as we explore this parable, I want to specifically look at what serving the Master looks like and what might hinder our service to Him. So, let us read. Starting at verse 14, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents? See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came over to him, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, 'Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave,
You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and so on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One of the important things to know as you study the parables of Jesus is that you cannot take every aspect of the story and make a life principle out of it. For example, this parable is not about wise financial investment or justification of taking interest or about rich getting richer. Parables are stories taken from everyday life intended to make one or two points. So what is the point of this parable? As I have mentioned in the last sermon, Jesus was all about bringing the kingdom of God upon this earth. The kingdom is God exercising his power for the good of humanity over God's people saved by grace in this God-given place called the earth. Jesus came first to start the process of bringing the kingdom of God on this earth. He came and died on the cross for our sins so that we might become reconciled to God and become citizens of the kingdom. Then Jesus was resurrected and ascended to heaven, and he promised to come back again at the end of time and finish the process of bringing the kingdom of God on this earth. But this in-between stage is what this parable is all about. Just because Jesus is gone, his work of bringing the kingdom is not done. He left his disciples with the great commission to continue the work of making disciples, or in other words, citizens of the kingdom from all nations. Therefore, in this parable, Jesus is telling what their lives ought to be like between him being gone and him coming back again. In this parable, the man or the master is clearly Jesus, and slaves are his disciples. Some Bible translation prefers to use the word servant because of the bad and painful connotation the word slavery has for many in our culture. But the slavery in biblical times was not race-based. But people either became a slave as a result of being captured during a war or as a result of selling themselves because of economic hardship. Clearly, the word slave became a favorite self-designation for many Christians like Apostle Paul. Paul would start a few of his letters by calling himself slave of Christ, because slaves did not have an option but to obey their master. So in this parable, the man going on a journey entrusts his property to the slaves. It is known that in Jesus' time, some of these slaves held high positions. Slaves were teachers, accountants, and even treasurers. The amount of money the master gave them shows why he had 3 slaves. Just for this, he must have had a thriving business, and these slaves were in charge of keeping the business going. Even though the definition we know of talent, referring to human ability, was derived from this parable, a talent in the ancient world was a large sum of money. It was a monetary weight of approximately 60 to 90 pounds. The value of a talent was 6,000 days' wages for a day laborer, roughly 20 years of work. A talent is worth 800,000 in today's money. So this master was very rich. He gave to the first slave 5 talents, meaning $800,000 multiplied by 5. That equals $4 million. That's a lot of money. He gave to the second slave 2 talents and to the third slave 1 talent. Still a lot of money. This shows not only the tremendous trust that the master had on the slaves, but the tremendous value of the work that the master entrusted the slaves with. What could this be other than the most precious work of spreading the good news of Jesus and expanding the kingdom of God? The first 2 slaves took risk. The first slave invested his 5 talents and made 5 more. The second slave invested his 2 talents and made 2 more. But the third slave went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's talent. Next, the text says in verse 19 that after a long while, meaning that this time between Jesus' ascension to heaven and his second coming will be long. After a long while, that the master returns and asks the slaves to give an account of what they have done with what is his money. And as the parable tells us, he gives the same reward to the first 2 servants who have been faithful, but the third he punishes. So here is what it means for us today. First, Jesus has left every single of his disciples with the responsibility to work for the kingdom of God by spreading the gospel. No exception there. Every single Christian is called to serve in their own given sphere of influence with all that they have. And I want to emphasize this notion of all that they have, because this parable does not say that all are given the same amount of responsibility. In verse 15, it says that the master gave his slaves different amounts of talents, each according to his ability. This master is kind, generous, and fair. Even though the gift of salvation and sharing in the eternal joy of the master is offered to all equally, the master knows his slaves and gives each one what he has the ability to handle. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, Paul gives us a small sample of gifts needed in the church. Here he writes, "And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues." What Paul is saying here is that it takes more than preachers and teachers to run the church. We need people with gifts of healing. The plural gifts imply more than one type of healing. It could also include doctors who provide medical healing. We need people who have the gifts of helping. That is, people with administrative gifts who come alongside busy pastors and keep them organized. The church also needs people with gifts of guidance. That is, people who are good at strategizing and giving guidance to the church. So you see that God has given each one a specific ability. And according to each one's ability, Jesus has entrusted them with their area of ministry and their responsibility to serve the kingdom of God. Jesus did not entrust me with the ministry of 5 talents to be involved in the administration side of our church ministry. If he did, this church would have one of its wheels in the ditch by now. But Jesus, knowing my experience, has entrusted me with the two talents to teach and to care for others. And that is how I am supposed to spread the gospel. And my job is to make sure that I use my talents well. What are your abilities? And what talents or areas of ministry has Jesus given you? Are you a stay-at-home mom? Do you have the talents to give to the give to the best of your ability a Christian upbringing to your children so that one day they may become disciples of Christ? Are you an elderly and stuck at home? Has Jesus given you the talent of prayer and encouragement to pick up that phone and lift someone's spirit up? Are you a student? Has Jesus given you at this time the responsibility to spread the gospel by loving on that one unpopular student in your class, whom everyone avoids? All disciples of Jesus are given talents, the responsibility to use what they have in the service of the kingdom of God. Everyone, there is no exception there. Secondly, always examine your belief about Jesus and God, because your belief about Jesus and God will hinder your service in the kingdom of God. You see, one of the major problems with the third slave is that he had a very bad opinion of the master. He says to the master in verses 24 to 25, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold or talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." He portrays the master as a tyrant, a ruthless mafia boss who takes for himself what others have worked so hard for. In verse 26, even though the master does not dispute the slave's characterization of him, but neither does he agree with it. Master's word in this verse is more like biting sarcasm. He's basically saying is that if your evaluation of me is right, that I am greedy for gain by all means necessary, then you should have at least invested the money in the bank. You see that the slave's opinion of the master affected his performance. He was not operating out of love of his master who has been so generous, but out of fear based on unfounded belief about the master. As this parable shows that this master is just the opposite of being a harsh man. He has been generous with his tremendous wealth. He gives more to his slaves who invested well. He is fair, and he gave to each one according to his ability. And lastly, he gave the one who produced two more talents the same reward as the one who produced five. Yet, because of this unfounded belief, the third servant ended up not investing even the little that was given to him, and he ended up losing everything. What we believe about God and Christ, our master, matters. Our belief results in actions that either leads us to invest in the kingdom or it leads us away. Look at all the political posts on Facebook. People who believe in a particular candidate is invested in promoting that candidate's agenda while trashing the candidate they do not believe in. Martin Luther, the famous German reformer, as a monk, at first thought of God as harsh as his own father. He was afraid of God, and in fact, hated God. As a result, a good part of his early life as a monk, he spent agonizing over his sins. It was not until his view of God changed and he came to see God as loving and gracious that he truly started serving God. What do you believe about God and Jesus? Charles Templeton, once a famous evangelist who worked alongside Billy Graham, after seeing a picture of an African woman with a deceased baby on the cover of the Life magazine, came to believe that there can be no good God. As a result, he left ministry completely. He no longer invested his talent. Our beliefs truly matter. Sometimes we go about so invested in seeking after prosperity, trying to protect and preserve our own way of life, that it almost seems that we do not believe in God and Jesus as our ultimate source of comfort. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world, serving our own interests, that it almost seems that we do not believe that Jesus is coming back to usher in a new world order called the kingdom of God. Or sometimes, even if we believe in Jesus, our belief is truncated or not complete. We may believe that since we are saved by grace, that we do not have to do anything for God. But as this parable shows, that is not true. Every disciple of Jesus has at least a talent to invest in the work of the kingdom. So you see, what we believe about God and Jesus matters. I once knew a farmer in Iowa. He believed in Jesus. He believed that Jesus would come back and establish his kingdom one day. And his belief led him to do what is good. His name was Harold Lance. He was a part of the church I pastored. Harold never missed a chance to share Jesus with others. When a mechanic came to fix his old truck, as he was fixing his truck, Harold seized the opportunity to share Jesus with him. His funeral was the first one I did in my ministry. No, Harold did not have 5 talents like Billy Graham. Maybe he just had 1. To spread the gospel in his own sphere of influence in that little town of Iowa. But he invested well before he died. My prayer for you and for me is this, that when you and I die, that the last word we may hear on this earth and the first word we may hear on the other side is this: enter the joy of your master. Let us pray. Father God, I pray over my church that you will bless them, keep them healthy, safe, and give them a wonderful rest of the year. May they serve you. May they use their talents well to spread the good news of Jesus in this community and in this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us from wherever or whenever you're watching. If you'd like a reflection guide based on the sermon or lesson plans for kids, go to ucov.com/Sunday. Now receive this benediction. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Wait a minute. Who's here? Oh, it's my daughter, Alyssa. Alyssa, what do you want to say to them? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. See you later. Bye.